Welcome to episode 19 of Talking Impact Investing, a podcast about impact investing, ESG factors, and sustainability in business. I'm your host, Matej Sushets. This episode features a conversation with Paul Herman, who is CEO and founder of HIP Investor. HIP Investor is an investment advisory firm that provides a unique system of analytics and ratings that serve as a useful tool for investors to fund ESG solutions. HIP stands for Human Impact and Profit, and it analyzes companies to make sure they're both doing well and doing good. Today, HIP has grown to serve some of the largest funds in the United States after being an industry leader for over 16 years. In this episode, we talk all about ESG scores, as the title suggests. Main topics are Paul's story and how he got involved with impact investing. But we also talk about how does a company get an ESG rating? How does HIP Investor get data to assess HIP ratings? And finally, we also talk about how HIP makes sure that their ESG ratings are objective and that they're able to see through some of the firms partaking in greenwashing. Without further ado, let's dive into this very exciting episode. Hi, Paul. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Delighted to be here, Matej.
First, I want to just say that you're one of the people that sort of introduced me to ESG at my undergrad at Rollins. So it's an absolute privilege to have you here. I'm not going to sell you short, so I'm going to ask you to tell us your story of how you successfully got involved with ESG and particularly to HIP Investor and impact investing.
Sure, happy to do so. My career is a result of my experiences along the way, but also my parental upbringing. So my father was very quantitative in accounting and math and finance, and my mother is very person-oriented and values of empathy and helping others. So along the way, as I worked at, graduated with a finance degree from Wharton School of University of Pennsylvania, applied that in my work at McKinsey. So I was able to see the pure business view of how to grow revenue and reduce cost, as well as innovate, carried that over to technology consulting and business reengineering, where I learned not only the people issues, the implementation of change and how difficult that can be to to do something radically different, but also in the business of working in business transformation, the power of things like writing a book, which is part of my journey, is having written the HIP Investor book that Wiley published in 2010, and then co-authoring and co-editing the Global Handbook of Impact Investing in 2022. So the genesis for HIP really came after I worked for a nonprofit called Ashoka for 3 years, and saw that social entrepreneurship could be blended with business entrepreneurship. And that combination of social and business can both create positive impact, positive human impact, positive environmental impact, but also positive financial impact. And so I was inspired by Muhammad Yunus doing this in microfinance to say, if we could apply microfinance principles of social entrepreneurship and business entrepreneurship at the same time, then we could maybe help all businesses not create value not only for shareholders, but create value for citizens, stakeholders, nature, and the like. So that's a short explanation of my journey, but happy to get into more of it along the way.
Excellent. And we'll publish the links to the books in the podcast description. I got to say, I read the first one, The HIP Investor, so definitely recommend everyone to check it out. And so moving on, what does impact investing mean to you and how would you define it? I know you sort of started talking about this right now, but maybe more specifically.
Yeah, I think every investment, every cash flow has an impact, positive, negative, neutral. And it's usually a blend of impacts, how it affects people, how it affects the planet, how it affects trust. So today, when you hear the words ESG, environmental, social governance, you could also say people, planet, and trust. But for impact, when I first, sparked the acronym Human Impact and Profit, it was one day at Ashoka. I came back to my desk and I just wrote it down, and thinking about how these disciplines can combine together of social, environmental, and financial. And I was inspired by Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, obviously everybody needs to eat and drink. They need to breathe clean air. They need to get a hug and be loved. You need trust in a community to realize your full potential. So impact to me is the combination of what, our five pillars of HIP are: health, wealth, earth, equality, and trust. Health being physical and mental health, wealth being income building and asset building for people, not for companies, but for people. Earth, of course, is clean air and clean water. Equality is many dimensions. It could be gender equality, racial equality, age equality, as well as equality across borders. And then trust, of course, is being ethical and moral and honest. So when you put all those filters on business or investing, it makes it more involved. It makes it more complicated. And that's the real world. So in today's world, when people are at, say, impact investing is woke, sure, we've been sleeping for a long time by ignoring people, planet, and trust. And I would say, don't you want to be awake when you're driving the car, when you're driving the investing car? You don't want to be asleep. You want to be awake. So impact investing means A, being aware of what the impacts are of every cash flow, of every investment. And then B, seeking how to blend all those factors together to create human impact and profit at the same time.
I love that analogy and sort of the description of the key pillars, which is very important. And so those key pillars are part of the ESG rating, which is part of your business providing ESG ratings for public companies internationally. Can you tell us more about how you collect the data? How often do you perhaps make the updates, and how essentially the ESG rating is collected and put out into the world?
Sure. Yeah. So we are now, we just hit our 16th birthday in December of 2022, sweet 16. So we're now in our 17th year of rating now 11,000 companies, like you said, around the world, across 85 countries, 85, public countries with public equity exchanges. We also rate muni bonds. So we rate cities and counties and states, as well as hospitals and road authorities, and we rate countries. So with a focus on the companies, we collect data either directly from the company when they publish their sustainability report or their ESG report, environmental social governance. We also work with nonprofits like Carbon Disclosure Project, CDP, Human Rights Campaign, as well as You Sow, to collect data about how companies are performing. And then we collect government information. There's information about emissions, water, and safety. So the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has rules about safety performance, deaths on the job, injuries on the job, but also safety recognition. There are companies that have great safety practices. And then academics. So academics help collect data and data sets as well. So we bring all those together, all those information sources together. And from the very beginning, more than 16 years ago, we looked at how each of those factors, things like employee satisfaction, employee pay, CEO pay, greenhouse gas emissions, board diversity, we look at how those affect the balance sheet, income statement, and statement of cash flows. And each of those factors turns out has a connection to the financial statements. So how you treat people connects to the financial statements. If you don't treat them well, people will leave. If you pay them enough, people are more likely to stay. If you don't give them time off, they'll find some place that does. So these, every investment, every cash flow has a return on investment, not just financially, but also impact wise. So we collect all the data. We collect 2 million data point, 2 million pieces of data for equities. We collect 5 million pieces of data for muni bonds. And then we convert those into metrics. The metrics map to pillars: health, wealth, earth, equality, trust. And then those, that rolls up to a HIP rating. And the HIP rating is a 100-point scale, where higher HIP rating means higher impact, positive impact on people, planet, and trust. And a lower rating means lower or even negative impact. And what we found all along the way is higher HIP rated public equities generally have higher financial returns and frequently lower risk, and generally lower HIP rated entities have lower or even negative financial returns and higher risk. So the concept of human impact and profit is running in the same direction. There's no, not always a cost to investing in people, planet, and trust. Frequently there's a return to doing that. And so that's the major principle to break through that isn't always taught in finance, but that is a real world experience over the past 16 plus years.
Excellent. And I think this is a great example of how, you know, making money and doing the impact can be connected. I wanted to sort of ask you a subsequent question, because you mentioned you also rate countries and some municipalities. What's the difference compared to, you know, rating the equities for the ESG score?
Yeah, really, there's multiple sectors. Well, obviously, a country does many things. It obviously has to support in some form the healthcare of its citizens. It taxes income and wealth to provide services, has to, you know, provide national defense, law enforcement. It has a environmental profile, depending on what the industries and exports and imports of the country are. So it's actually quite involved. There's something like 24 metrics that we have when we rate a country on its sustainability and impact. And similarly, there's between a dozen and 24 metrics when you look at a city, county, or state, but also when you look at a hospital or an energy utility or a water utility. So one of the easiest ways to explain this is if you got sick right now, would you care which hospital you went to? And most of us would want to go to the hospital that solves the medical issue, preferably in a way that is also has patient satisfaction, but that where you're not going back to the hospital because they didn't do a good job. That's what we rate. We rate medical outcomes and patient satisfaction, as well as things like safety violations in hospitals. Or schools. If you wanted to choose what school your kids went to, you'd look for schools with good outcomes, with teachers that are doing their job, with a safe campus. So it's a little bit wider scope than a company just serving a customer, though obviously hospitals have customers and schools have students. But when you run a city, county, state, or country, you don't control everything that goes on. So you, it's actually quite difficult, depending on the resources available to a city, county, state, or country, how to allocate those resources, what to incentivize. So we've been doing both of those, countries and municipality sector, for more than a dozen years. And so we're fortunate to work with investors and fund managers who value that and apply that in their sovereign and muni bond portfolios.
Thank you. And moving on, as you know, greenwashing has been, you know, exposed many times. Many companies have been a part of this sort of like reporting something and then doing something else. And then my question to you would be, how do you make sure that you provide objective ratings and see through the greenwashing that some companies take part in?
I think this is one of the ways that we are able to really help investors is there's three principles we bring: transparency, performance, and accountability. And it's transparency around data-driven outcomes. So when we're producing a rating, we're not guessing what the rating is. We're not being influenced by the words the company says. We are collecting hard data on employee turnover, hard data on board diversity, hard data on who's suing the company and for how much and why. And so that hard data, that can't be manipulated. It could be withheld. So one of the risks in greenwashing, if you're data-driven, is if there's if it's opaque, if there's no transparency, how do you rate that? And there are some competitors of ours in ESG and impact ratings that will fill in the blank for the company because the investors don't want a blank. They want a number. If the company is not, or some source is not reporting it, they should be penalized, and they are in the HIP system. You are penalized for not being transparent. And that is, to be honest, when you can't see it, it's extra risk. So our ratings on some companies and industries rate lower than anybody else's because not reporting is a risk, and it's a risk of performance, and it's a risk of impact. And so you get a lower rating. So that's one way we combat it. Another way we combat it is accountability. And so because investors who use, you know, ratings or data like ours allocate money, when money moves towards highly sustainable companies, their cost of capital is lower. And when money moves away from the worst performing or non-transparent companies, their cost of capital goes up. And you've seen this in some various versions, from public prisons that can't raise money easily to oil and gas companies sometimes have a difficulty in doing that. So as investors, we have power in that our capital flows can help drive cost of capital lower or higher and spark change inside companies to do better.
Thank you for sharing this answer. I was really looking forward to hearing more, and you really clarified it well. And so sort of moving to the last part of the interview, I want to again point out, as you said, you've been around successfully for 16 years. You've grown up to serve to some of the largest funds in the US and internationally, currently have combined assets under management of $18 trillion. And so I think the question here is, how do you see the future of ESG investing and the progress that the rating industry is going to move to?
So just to be clear, the clients who use HIP ratings manage $18 trillion. They use HIP ratings for a subset of that, not all of that. But what's indicative is that whether we're working with $1 trillion asset managers or $1 billion asset managers or with, you know, $1 million foundations, what's consistent is they're voting with their dollars. And what they're voting for is managing future risk that is not that is finding a balance to advance people, planet, and trust or human impact. And at the same time, those organizations that are doing it, public equities, muni bonds, sovereign bonds, those companies are investments generally have a positive return on investment. So I'd say the trends are more people understanding that impact or sustainability or ESG can have a positive ROI. I think that's one major, you know, principle that still needs to get achieved. And where that's running into friction, so there's another trend currently that is unfortunate, but there's people fighting against that. There's people saying, no, just make me more money. And when they're saying that, when they're saying, just make me more money, they're implicitly saying, pay people less, treat the environment worse, be unethical if you have to. And that's not right. I mean, it's not right as a person, as a citizen, but it's not smart as an investor. And you don't hear a lot from family investors that are multi-generational in nature, but families, multi-generational families invest this way naturally. They tend not to invest in an extractive way. They tend to invest in a sustainable way because they want their second, third, fourth, fifth generation to inherit that. What happens in the markets is you have non-generational investors or you have extractive participants that are looking to make a short-term profit, by paying people less, even if they quit, or even if they it causes mental stress in those people, that then that's a disadvantage to society. We don't want more mental problems, health problems in society. So there is a way for all of us to act together to do that. So I'd say that's a second trend to help illuminate and educate, but also point out the sometimes the hypocrisy of it. So in your state that you're living in right now, in Florida, the current governor, Ron DeSantis, is anti-ESG, but the pension in Florida is voting pro-ESG because it's good investing principles. So there's some of those contrasts that that happen. Also, when you look at the states who are governors, attorney generals, the treasurers that are against it, some of those states are doing a good job for their citizens, but a lot of those states are not doing a good job for their citizens. So they need to do their job and take care of citizens in a, you know, pragmatic and productive way. So, and I'd say the one of the additional big trends is in the U.S., and this is already happening in the European Union and the EU, the requirement for investments and investment funds to, if it's the fund is called ESG, to prove and show how they're doing it. And some firms have been fined already, like Goldman Sachs, for not doing what they're saying. And then the greenhouse gas reporting, which will emerge this year in 2023, will start to show, at least for scope one and scope two emissions, which are inside the company and energy. And we'll see about scope three emissions, which are in customer and supply chains. But you'll start to see distinctions. And for those investors who care about climate action and climate change, I think we'll see more money movements towards those that are more sustainable. So more transparency, more competitive performance, and more accountability among these things that matter. Like if I were to tell my mom, my mother, how would you invest? She would say, treat people right, don't destroy the environment, and be honest. And so do we want to invest like our moms would invest, or do we want to go against that? So I'm doing it like my mom would.
Paul, at this point, I would really like to thank you for your time and all the knowledge you share with us. I think this was fantastic. Again, I'll share the links to your books, to the HIP Investor website for any potential investors or partners that might be interested. Again, thank you for joining Talking Impact Investing.
Thank you, Matej.
Thank you for staying with us until the very end. You can stay up to date with the upcoming episodes by subscribing. And if you found any useful information, feel free to leave a 5-star review and follow Talking Impact Investing Podcast on social media.